Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. It's Friday and it's the 1st of August. That explains the wind. And it's just, all mixed up with winter at this point. It's just the wind and winter. I think I should look into being a rapper. So what do we have for today? Let's look at the menu and what the heck is that? Un momento, si vuole. That's better. Right, so today is the first of August, and as far as I'm aware, I'm not aware of any I'm not aware of any any type of I almost said deny. Okay, 9:15. So, Namco bail application set for the 1st of August 2025. The Windhoek Magistrate Court is considering a bail application in the case of the state versus Emmanuel Mlunga and 12 others. They accused her, and then they go on a list and blah, blah, blah. So that live streaming can start at any moment. It was set to start at 9:15. But it haven't already, since you all are listening to me. So, some interruptions to prepare for. So as soon as that start, we'll be back in the game. And that is back, just be switching from Mind the Gap at the Eagle FM Windhoek studio to Mind the Gap at the Windhoek Magistrate Court in the matter of, Emmanuel Mlunga and 12 others, that's for those of you, a state versus Emmanuel Mlunga and 12 others. For those of you that care about the political correctness and all that garbage. And then there are those of us that don't care about any political correctness. And we like to call that Range Rover, state versus Range Rover Oil 1NA bail application. Y'all better be laughing at my joke so that I can afford a lawyer and bodyguards. And I think, I have a sneaky suspicion that everyone seems to, to be going to Sisa Namanje to defend them. And I think we have a misunderstanding of what's going on at Sisa Namanje and Co. Because everyone is like, these guys must be really smart. They must know the law. Come on. The UNAM graduates lawyers every year. You're telling me they all don't know the law? I have a sneaky suspicion what gives Sisa Namanje and CO an advantage is. Among other very few law firms in Namibia. One thing that gives them, more like a market or a popularity and a court triumph advantages. Not only do they know the law, they also know the judge. What you do with that information is up to you. Now, before you start doing something dumb that will end up with you being on the wrong side of the authorities or the Namibian legal system, you may want to ask yourself two questions. Do you have money to afford a lawyer? If the answer is no, be a law-abiding citizen like yours truly here. Now, if the answer to that is yes, then that takes us to, to the next phase of this discussion. Now, if the answer is yes, you can afford a lawyer, ask yourself, the lawyer that you can afford, do they know the law and the judge or just the law? If your lawyer only knows the law but doesn't know the judge, become a law-abiding citizen. Now, moving on to the next part, the lawyer that you can afford, do they know both the law and the judge? If your answer is yes, ask yourself one question, one very important question. How much do you have? Can you afford to pay them for, for a period of 5 years of pre-trial? Not main trial, pre-trial. 5 years. Ask the Fish Road guys. They can, they are a walking, talking testimony. And actually, locked up talking. They're not doing a lot of walking. So instead of walking, talking, let's go with a locked up and talking testimony. You may have the money to afford a lawyer, but 5 years of pretrial is not fun. Like, actually, well, a weekend is just not cool in a holding cell. Headphones are getting on my nerves. Un momento.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
All right, now, make we continue. So, before you start doing something that will end up with you on the wrong side of the authorities, ask yourself those very few questions. Can you afford a lawyer? If the answer is no, oh yeah, stay humble. Two, if you can afford a lawyer, does your lawyer know the judge and the law, or just the law? If the answer is just the law, stay humble. Does the lawyer that you can afford, does that lawyer know both the law and the judge? If your answer is yes, that brings us to the second most important question. Can you afford to pay them for 5 years of pre-trial? If the answer is no, stay humble. If the answer is yes, then sure, let's go on with this. You can afford to pay them for, for, 5 years in pre-trial. If your answer is yes, ask yourself, are you going to have any money left after you win that? You know, take for example, if you 5 years in pre-trial, the case is dismissed. Chances are very high you can turn around and sue the state because of the money that they costed you. Chances are very high they're going to give you a lot of money, in compensation because you deserve it. You were accused of doing something. Even if you did something, if they can't prove it, it still falls under the legal definition of it was just an accusations, false accusations. That's one thing I like about the legal system we adopted. It's very technical. It does not matter what you saw. The question is, can you prove it? I saw him coming out of your house. Can you prove it? Because if you can prove it, I'm sorry, it will never happen again. But if you can't prove it, I have never been to that guy's house. Oh dear. I know, look, it's very irritating. It irritates everyone. But, let's get to the economic part of discussions now. Let's all, put our hands together for the two Kavangos. My fellow Kavangoans out there, guys, we rock at, at thinking outside the box. We are very good at this. And this is the same thing you see that, this is the same thing, you see from, and it's beginning to reflect, our goodness as Kavangos is beginning to reflect, the way that, it's beginning to reflect in public office. For a very long time, security guards were the only type of, evidence we pointed at when every time that we talk about, the subject of Kavangos and ice came up. Of course, for the non-Kavango girls, every time that you ask them for their number, they'll be like, yeah, I don't date Kavangos, see, they're witches, see. Like, look, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm not a witch. And then, by the way, talking from experience, there's no way around that. You are not getting out of that debate, you know, as a winner, if you're Kavango. So, because, if you say, well, I'm not a witch, the question is, so there is witchcraft in Kavango. Well, I don't know. Okay, so how do you know you're not a witch? At this point, I'm now just sitting across the table from a Vambo girl. I'm like, okay, you're asking me, how do I know if I'm not a witch? Okay, now let's talk stereotype here. The same way I know you're not a thief. It's simple. In other words, we're all running on trust me, bro. And if I'm sitting across the table from a Damara and she starts saying things like, well, how do you know you're not a witch? I will tell her, well, the same way I know you're not gonna steal me. That's how I know. In other words, we all have our fingers crossed here and hoping, well, the worst case scenario does not, well, happen. I'm so glad I'm terrible at going out because some of these things will get me, well, sticked. And, by the way, here's the thing though, one, if your plan is to run into me clubbing someday, good luck with that. Because chances of that happening are slim to none. Just a few reasons, basically. The first one being, I have a PhD in sleeping. I have a PhD in sleeping. I'm one of those people that can reply to your message at 11:40 at night and be at sleep at 11:41. By the time that you reply, 11:41, I'm in dreamland. That's how good I am. So every time that I hear people saying, no, I'm struggling to sleep, I'm looking at them going like, what the heck is he talking about? It's like, it's like the same way that Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk look at us every time we complain that, oh no, this guy is $500,000. It's very expensive. Bill Gates at this point is going, just $500,000? Really? That's expensive? Yeah. It is if you have minus 14 in your bank account. Now, we're all operating on trust me, bro. Now, why am I starting with this violence? Why am I congratulating my people for being so nice and for being very Ubuntu oriented and very Pan African oriented? I'll give you three examples. One is very obvious one. Most of the security guards are from Kavango. That means a lot of bosses out there, not even white people, will want to have white security guards. Nope. You know why? It's because they know that, even a white guy is not a Kavango. Now, the only solution to that was, they were like, you know what, I would rather trust those guys with my properties than my fellow white guys here. Because, the thing is, I know how I acquired this property. First of all, it's most likely coming from my ancestors stealing. So, my ancestors stole. That's how I know that guy is most likely going to steal. He may be white, but he's going to steal. And, white thieves are creative. Very creative. I will give them credit for that. Because, first of all, I'm saying white people are creative and actually savage. White thieves are creative and actually savage because it's only white people that will steal something that's yours and then rent it to you and tell you that, well, I may have stolen it 50 years ago, but well, back then it was yours. Now, if you want to get it, well, there is this system I developed in place is called the willing buyer, willing seller. That's the only way you can acquire it back. Now, let's just, let's not dwell in the past here. I stole it. Yes, I know. Actually, it wasn't me. It was my sisters. These things happened. We don't have to dwell in the past, conciliation, we reached an agreement where we have to live together in peace and, these things will. Now, that's why I'm saying, white thieves are the worst thieves if you are the victim. And are the best thieves if you are white benefiting from that thievery? Now, never having white friends after this. But anyway, if you don't have a sense of humor, you're not good for it anyway. Now, moving on. Which is why I think, you know, every white guy, every time they want to get a white security guard is like, hey, this guy is going to come and steal my factory and then rent it to me and tell me that, well, it may have happened, but my ancestors may or may not have stolen your factory, but, well, we reached an agreement that we are not going to, you know, use two beds to make a good. So what we're going to do is, you can acquire it back by buying it from me that stole it from you. That definitely makes sense. It does. Only white people will think that way. So now you know, even now you know why they will be like, well, I want a security guard. I'm gonna go get me a Kavango. Now at this point, everyone who is non-Kavango is going, oh my god, that radio station is for Ivambo. Yeah, but the man in the seat is a Kavango. Congratulations, you win. yeah, no, it's Friday, guys. I just woke up, you know, with enough violence and decided to get on, on everyone's nerves. And let's put all that aside and let's focus on the bright side of why I started this conversation, why I started congratulating my people. It's because we think, we think for the good of everyone. Take Eliphas Dingara's proposal, for example. He didn't say $1 million for me and my homies, like some Fisherot and Namgo guys did. No, he just said, okay, how about we just, $1 million for everyone. You see, Vango comes into, comes into parliament. The first thing he says is, how about we give every Namibian $1 million? Vambo comes in and like, as long as I have my $1 million, I don't care about everyone else. And the same thing we see in Fisherot, the same thing is we see in this whole Namco thing. It was just there's a storm brewing, by the way, by the Minister of Health. Now, that is the storm I've been looking forward to for a very long time. Ever since, back in 2019, tit for tat type of things that, that was going on in that ministry, featuring where, if it was a movie, the main character would have been, would have been Bernard Afiku. That, you see, all other tribes that are featured in the Fisherot thing, and all other, all other scandals, financial scandals here in Namibia, it's about one homie just stealing enough resources to share with his homies. But Dingara was like, how about we just give that to everyone? First of all, thank you very much for your faith in humanity. I feel like every time I pray for $1 million, God looks at me and go like, last time I gave you 10K, my son, you didn't sleep. I don't think $1 million would be a good idea. Actually, I don't think 100,000 would be a good idea, let alone $1 million. You. My son, I created you. I know the type of dumb decisions you have made. And that was just with $1,000. Now, I can't imagine you. I'm the one that created, but even I cannot imagine you with $1 million. You behaving with $1 million, yeah, right. The devil will be seeking baptism if that happens. Now, what is another example that I'm using here to point out that Kavangos are just looking, Kavangos are just looking more interested into, common interest, communal. Let's do this together. Let's chop the money together. This is phase one of this discussion, by the way. Oh dear. Proposal for Ministry of Happiness gains traction. You see, we are also proposing for the Ministry of Happiness. All right, let's just be honest here. Support is mounting for Rural Constituency Councillor Paul Sbangu. Paul Sbangu's call for Namibians to establish a Ministry of Happiness, a bold and unconventional. Uncontroversial. That is controversial. Unconventional proposal aimed at tackling the country's deepening mental health crisis and growing emotional distress among citizens. Yes. You know what? You know what? There are two things that will make Namibians happy. First of all, step one. I don't think, as much as I would like to agree with this guy, I will get back to the cooking, don't worry. As much as I would like to agree with, with Paul Sbangu, I think, this is just an edited version of Dingara's proposal. Giving every Namibian $1 million and establishing Ministry of Happiness are one and the same thing. Actually, any Namibian that you'll ask in this country, if they have to choose between $1 million and the establishment of the Ministry of Happiness, they'll be like, easy. All you just have to do is give everyone $1 million and then Ministry of Happiness. Check. You don't have to create any office. You don't. There's just one problem, though. I'm one of those people that look at myself in the mirror and go like, nah, not even I can trust me to behave with $1 million. And then I look in my circle of friends and be like, I swear even if the government of this republic gives us $1 million, like all 3 million of us, I know a homie or two that will be broke in 2 weeks. They'll be dead broke and back to square one. The only thing they'll be left with is, is super away and most likely be drowning in Tamba, to call an Eagle FM and say, this government is not doing anything. You were just given $1 million. Yeah, I know. But they were supposed to keep me in check so I spend it wisely. Shouldn't that have been, in violation of your financial privacy, among other types of privacy? Like, well, here's the thing. Well, being a president is like a parent. You must, watch your kids. A kid. You? A kid? You have gray hair. What kid are you talking about? Now, if you ask me, Dingara's proposal and Mango's proposal are basically the same thing. That's my point of view. You wanna be, well, now. Of course, this was mostly just put out. Okay, now, let me just not put words in, in Mr. Bango's mouth here. In an interview, this week, I think, argued that while the Ministry of Health and Social Service is officially tasked to promote wellness, it remains overstretched and largely focused on treating disease rather than preventing it. Okay, here's the thing now. After I read that, I was like, honorable. Here's the thing. The thing is, last time a public official said that against another public official, it didn't end well. What are you talking about? Go deeper, man of Eagle FM. Oh, I will go deeper. Earlier this year, James Sankwasa started making fun of ACC for not working. They started working by investigating him and then investigated everyone else. Ipso facto, Fish Road. Fish Road, that was Al Jazeera. The fact that Al Jazeera's information had to be leaked from, had to be leaked from Qatar goes to show that, the ACC was like, oh man, why didn't we discover that? That's our job. But he didn't. I think the Fish Road case is one of those cases that, that sort of like cemented that point of view in a lot of Namibians' point of view, in a lot of Namibians' minds about the ACC just being a very savage, fierce dog without teeth. And, no one had basically come out to, you know, publicly, like surrounded by a bunch of microphones to basically point that out. Until our current rural and urban development minister came out and made that point. It was like, the anti-corruption was like, well, we have got to prove something here. I mean, it's like an employee sleeping on duty. And then the boss walks in, walks in and then taps you on the shoulders. Like, are you sleeping? At this point, you are going, Father in heaven, I cannot ask for more blessings than this job and the people that run it. Amen. Boss, you were saying? Oh, so, well, I thought you were sleeping. That was a nice prayer, by the way. That was a nice prayer. Thank you very much. I think that's what the anti-corruption did. They were there like, they were just there on their desk. They were this close to snoring. And then, James Nkwasa came, approached them and they basically tapped them on the shoulder. That's when they went, Father in heaven, bless this country, bless this company, and bless everyone. Bless us to be efficient at our job. Amen. We are not sleeping. We were just praying. And then they were like, right, off to investigations we go. We are told about this company that was tasked at a disbanding AgriBizDev. I don't know who came up with that name. No wonder the institution failed. AgriBizDev. That's the best name we could come up with. Okay, look, I'm so proud that we didn't say Nam Agri because, well, we have Nam everything in this country, which is just, well, crazy. Now, so the AgriBizDev, so the ACs was like, there's one guy that worked for the Ministry of Agriculture, I think, at some point. And he worked on an agreement of a tender. And as soon as this guy left that company, started working, left the ministry, he got a job conveniently enough. He got a job in a company that is partly owned by you that happened to win the same tender of which the agreement was, he was drafting. We're not saying something fishy is going on. But it's just kind of difficult not to ask if there's something fishy going on here. And I think this is when, this is why I'm loving the technicalities now. Now, that it's very important to realize when someone is accused of something, they are not, there's a difference between someone who is accused of something and something, so there's a difference between someone who stands accused of something and someone who stands convicted of something. Accused, we're just assuming at this point based on the available evidence that we have. Looking at the, the evidence we have is overwhelming in terms of pointing out that you could be guilty. Now, we are going to drag you to court and then investigate. And if we prove it, you get convicted. At that point, then you're guilty as heck. But if you don't get convicted, chances are very high our behinds are on fire because you could sue us for defamation of character. Well, because the whole thing was, was fake. And also all the pain and suffering that you have caused. And by the way, you're going to hear that a lot in civil lawsuits. Pain and suffering, emotional trauma. No, he's just broke. One money. So moving on. $1 million per citizen, Ministry of Happiness, same thing. And it's all coming from Kavangan. So proud of us. Really proud of us. But now, let's look at who would be the executive director of the Ministry of Happiness. First of all, last time I checked, we are not the first one, we are not the first country to come up with, if we did that, we would not be the first country to come up with the Ministry of Happiness. I think that was Japan that came. Was that Ministry of Happiness or Ministry of something? Okay, hang on a second. I think that was either Japan or South Korea that came up with that. With the ministry like that. I think that that was during the COVID-19 pandemic, and after that they, you know, basically disbanded the whole thing, because that's a lot of money. Okay, countries that have Ministry of Happiness. Ha! Turns out there's a whole list. Oh, there's a whole Wikipedia page. Okay, countries with Ministry of Happiness and Well-being. Okay. The UAE turns out has that ministry, but they have money to basically, well, give everyone money. You know, I'm so proud of me at the way that I look at things. Un momento, si vous plaît.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ministry of Happiness. Look, just give people money.
Okay, let me not put it that way. Don't just give people money, no. Because that would be, okay, first of all, giving people money, without first figuring out if they are good at managing money. It will be like, giving a loaded gun to someone that doesn't know how to use a gun. Chances are very high they will just, worst case scenario, they will shoot someone else. Best case scenario, they will shoot themselves. As long as I'm not the one, as long as I'm the one not getting shot, and it's the best case scenario for me. So, from 2000 to 2025, from 2000 to 2025, there have been a steep decline in suicide in countries that are loaded. Ouch. Now, they don't have it like at 0%. No, there is just a decline. That's the best we can do. Because one thing we have learned is that turns out, rich people commit suicide. I think there's nothing more puzzling. One of the most puzzling thing for a broke person is coming across a story. Of a rich person that have committed suicide.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA, and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opo yu.
And welcome back. We are still waiting for the live stream, and there are a lot of angry people, you know, now that are waiting. As the court, please, they got bail, please get back to work. Now, that's a comedian. Till now, no solution, blah, 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 now. So, whether or not they have started, or is it or it's a technical, hang on a second. I forgot to check my plan B.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter.
Yeah, check, and double check. So we continue. Ministry of Tolerance, huh? That's also turns out in the UAE, when you have a lot of money, you can just, have all kinds of ministries. So you have a Ministry of Happiness and Well-being. Programs and initiatives, they have Happiness and Positivity Heroes Medal, Happiness and Positivity Hour, Happiness and... this is rich people stuff. Because if you are broke, you really don't have time. Like, who is that? I think that was 50 Cent that said, when if you're broke, you don't have time for depression. You channel all the depression and pain into hustling. Because, then you're not gonna eat. So in other words, it somehow acts as a... distraction to some of the aches and pains of life. But anyway, moving on. Oh, man. The proposal of the creation of Ministry of Happiness comes amid a mental health statistics concern. First of all, mental health statistics is mental health is one of those subjects that's kind of difficult to pinpoint. First of all, when it comes to, because it's not having one cause. Unlike HPV, it can only be caused by maybe a few things. Most of which are going to be microorganisms, which we can easily combat by just, lumping a bunch of chemicals together into capsules and telling them, oh yeah, swallow. There, go. At least, or an injection. I hate injections. But mental health is one of those subjects that is it's not caused by one thing. And there's not only one solution. Have a headache, paracetamol, gone. Headache. unless you have one of those headaches that's you know, tied to a lot of medical conditions, then you'd be like, well, you need help on that one. Taking medication to suppress the headache will be like you removing a speed limit sign so that you can just drive as fast as you can. The thing is, without any speed limit, idiots will be driving like they own the road. They're already doing that anyway. So you'll have, that will not solve the problem. Removing the speed limit is not going to solve the speeding, the speeding problem, or that subsequently leads to accidents. What you do with that information is up to you. And also, just one thing I like to point out, I'm not a politician, not an analyst, not any kind of professional. Okay, I'm a professional comedian. Not any kind of a professional. No, just me. Making fun of people mostly with more money and power than me, which is a dumb idea. But hey, that dumb idea is how I make my money. The only job I haven't done in the comedy area is one of where I have to be an MC. Whether I'm an MC at someone's memorial service or someone's wedding, I don't see that going well. Because when you're a comedian, you see comedy everywhere. And some people, especially at weddings, especially at funerals, they don't like, they don't like jokes. Plus, I'm most likely just going to go there for the food. But anyway, mental health, multiple causes, multiple solution. The reason why I may be stressed is not the reason that's stressing the person next to me. I may be stressed because, I don't have money, which is like 80 to 90% of Namibians. And also one person can have multiple, let's call them sources of stress. Can have multiple sources of stress. You can have a boss yelling at you at work. You have another boss yelling at you at home. Married people will understand. You can have another boss yelling at you at a hotel. Married people with Camborotos will understand. Depending on how many Camborotos you can have, you can have multiple people, yelling at you. And now this brings us to why I have a sneaky suspicion why some of this suicide statistics is high among us. Sometimes, guys, let's just be honest with ourselves. Sometimes you can see that your salary is 5K. You are married. You can barely afford the rent. You are adding on a Camboroto, let alone two Camborotos, three. On a 5K salary, you really like high blood pressure, don't you? Eagle FM, Kuya More.
Oh, More Menye.
200.
Morokeni.
Morokeni? Ngapi kwa?
Ngapi. Ngapi o? Ngapi?
Na wako ngapi?
Mukaramo Morugan.
Ah, it's a good thing you didn't say Makara kwa ironga. Irugana, excellent. Irugana.
Because when people are talking,
yeah,
any language that is spoken in Kavango there.
Yeah.
And also some in the Zambezi.
Yeah.
I understand very well, I connect. I don't know whether that meant every time I must just be having a notebook and a pen. It's only when you now start talking, then when I come in, then I forget the words again.
you'll master it. Spirit, no surrender.
Please, no surrender. Make you move forward, my friend. No, go back.
Yeah.
So now you see, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Sabi, I Sabi Naim description, job description.
Yeah.
But listen, is the bail going to start again?
Well, according to their live stream, it should have started at 9:15, but it haven't. Well, obviously, when these things happen, it's most likely because
make copies. This one, this other one. The way I like these people of yours is anything that you bring. Many a times is just okay. Let's go for a break. Make copy. Let's go for this one. So they really consider this minute. Important things that we tend to ignore.
That's like that's like me putting my wedding to, okay, that's like me having a wedding organized. I will come at my wedding and say, well, like, well, here's the thing, we forgot to prepare the food, huh?
Oh, it's very interesting, man.
The whole thing was scheduled to start at 15 past 9, but it haven't.
But nevertheless, so this suicide issue among the men, it's no longer about, in fact, I was just, I gave myself a responsibility to look at the suicide among Namibians, particularly men.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you, any newspaper that you page, it seems to include men and boys.
Yeah.
But only when they, just by the passing word, you know, the passing thing, or I don't know how you call it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we are addressing this, whether it's financial inclusion, whether it's come to combating of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
whether it comes to, where are the things that I wrote, whether it's coming to protection order, the management of it, whether it comes to any other thing, men are just there as a symbol or ceremonial kind of a thing. Even in the summit that was recently launched by the Prime Minister, I'm not the Prime Minister, the Speaker of the National Parliament, National Assembly, is National Assembly.
What summit is that?
So the recent summit they held, talking about peace, security, and all these other things.
Yeah.
It's women. Anything. Look at the issues of when the 25-year marriage ends in agony. I wouldn't wish this pain on anyone. It's a man talking. 25 years marriage ends in agony.
I have had the displeasure of having to work, around people that were in the process of a marriage dissolution. It's ugly.
Look at the protection order must be applied fairly. The protection order must be applied fairly. What does that mean to you?
Protection order is a restraining order or something?
It's a restraining order, and I'm always questioning these things, the management of it.
Yeah.
You know what they do?
Yeah.
They give you a protection order, but normally it's because of this article now, they say it's not applied fairly. Why is lopsided? Meaning that it's only failing and only protecting women. And ask me why. I've saw 100 reasons.
Okay, so you feel like the protection order, or as you put it, are more leaning towards protecting women than men?
And girls, women and girls, you know it already. Even if you have experiences, if you look at it, examine it, you know very well that it ends up in agony also. Because they will tell you, don't go to that house, but it's your common home. Your man is protected not to go there. It's not, have you ever heard that women have got a protection order,
restraining orders are usually issued when there is, when it's established that the person that is, that is given that restraint to stay away from the person they are asked to stay away from
is violent in nature
for the most part.
It's not that the person is violent in nature. He only become more violent, aggressive and violent or whatever, things that can lead to murders and all this suicide and all these things that you're talking about, gender-based violence.
Yeah.
But then, the purpose of it, the intention, the legal intention there, because it's a legal remedy.
Yeah.
It's supposed to some facilitate some kind of good conversation, some kind of reconciliation, some kind of, you know, repentance and all these things. But what it does, currently, the way it's managed, it restrains you from your own house. It doesn't matter whether you are married in community of property or out of community of property. So you are now restrained on yourself, actually, not even the paper that you are given by the police.
Yeah.
You restrain yourself, just self-control. Last time we were talking about calm, brief, open, you know that kind of strategy that you are taught in martial arts. But this one does not make you like that. It makes you pain. The other one they said, oh, there are so many. How do we prevent and even with our legal instrument really prevent and combat
those... But when it comes to things like restraining orders, it all comes down to what is the historical, what history made the court issue that restraining order? The last time that you take for example, you and I had the last one or two or maybe five times that you and I had an encounter. How did that encounter go? Now, if I come to your place all the time and, and you want to reason and I always want to fight, then the court would just be like, okay, now, there is no point of these two meeting because, well, one of them wants to talk, one of them wants to fight. So we will just rather, more like mediate your meeting. You two will only meet and talk under supervision of the court because, well, one of you clearly is hired on some, kavango weed or something. So that's what they basically point out. There's a history, there's a history of some kind of misunderstanding in terms of, in terms of communication that always leads them to give that, to issue a restraining order.
That should have been the purpose or intention of the order.
Yeah.
But then it goes to tell me when the court has resumed. So the problem is that when you are restrained in that manner, by then it was, I think it was serving a purpose. Mm-hmm. But this time around with the emerging issues and things like that, the complication and the complex family issues, now it's no longer serving the order. What it says is murder and killing, person killing or whatever you call it. Because that person whom you have now restrained from his home and his children and his rights, you are like depriving him. You are like, it's now the state that is actually managing that person who is actually capable of managing his own life.
Is he now, though? Because if he was capable of managing his own life, he would not have ended up with a restraining order.
No, the restraining order could come from the Jew influence. It can come from external affair, from external.
Yeah.
It may not have resulted from within your home, for example, but it comes from there because some of these things are instigated.
Yeah.
And if you are now putting that order, the people have now known that, yes, this one is with Camboroto outside there.
Yeah.
And then this other one doesn't have Camboroto. And this one who is now restrained is seeing now this other one who has actually facilitated and made the implementation of the restriction order to be effective is now looking at you from the window. How do you solve, how do you reconcile the two? Are you not making more violence? I don't know. I mean, you people know better. So, of course, the courts can implement that, can order that thing, because you are taking to them. They may not have considered some of the social implication and many other issues.
Yeah.
But what they see is that the killing. They will now come, oh, this person has come, was given a restriction order, now has killed somebody who has violated somebody's life. Of course, it's not lawful, but who made that situation? Was it a necessity?
The restraining order?
Yeah, I mean, the killing of the person. You know, you have given the person a restraining
order. Yeah.
And now that person, because he was now put and even forced by the situation or factors, I'm not saying that it's lawful to commit a crime, but then who have actually made that person to have now acted out of necessity?
Now, I don't see how. I don't see how how going against a restraining order is acting out of necessity. I mean, like I pointed out, and this is just my point of view, not a professional legal analysis or something. Is that usually a restraining order is given. A restraining order is given. Where it there are certain requirements that that are considered before giving someone a restraining order. It's which I said in the beginning, which is why I pointed in the beginning that if you have a restraining order, it's because there's something that the judge was looking at. That's something, something that doesn't
the
add up well with you.
Looking at the training order which was presented, the report that was presented by the, let's say, social worker.
Again, these are social workers. They are looking at mostly the, mostly the prior violent behavior. If I have a series of convictions and I'm always showing up breaking your window and and sneaking in your house in the middle of the night, a restraining order is coming,
That one is justifiable. What about the one that you are just restrained just because the person wants to go and enjoy her camarote there? Not necessarily that, of course. See? So now it's not because of your history of violent behaviors and issues of that nature, because somebody can also cook anywhere and put in the report that, yes, because when you go there to report to the police, for example, this is violence, this is other ones happening, and things like that. So depending on how, who is side and who is going to cook up that report, is he going to be in favor of the man?
So you're talking about the unfairness in, sometimes that arise from how the restraining orders are given.
That's why I was reading protection order must be applied fairly.
As in any system, you have a bunch of people that are taking advantage of it. Obviously, that's not rocket science.
Are the lawyers, the court, and the judge now taking advantage of that?
The judge or the lawyer or something like that may be working in cahoot. I'm not saying it's more often the case. I'm just saying it's a possibility. But social workers, again, if I know you as a social worker,
social workers are mostly women.
Mostly women.
Uh-huh. If they are mostly women, do you expect them to be siding with a man, even though justice should be applied?
So you think because most social workers are women, then you think it's most decisions made out of that are made out of sympathy of their fellow women or something?
When you look at the cultural and traditional norms. And how the women are protected as far as in comparison to men, and how men are committing suicide, for example, or violence.
But that's not the reason why. That's not an established reason behind the high statistics of women. Of men's suicide.
It is.
No, most of them
look at the financial exclusion. Look at the economic abuse.
Financial exclusion, for example.
I just told you now here that I'm doing a discretion, and they were saying that we just have to advance the economic the women and the girls' economic empowerment. Where are the men switching now? And you want to promote this one, you are demanding their social life and economic and political life and all these other things, and then you are leaving the men out now. What does it, is it not, are you not creating some kind of imbalances?
Oh, well, I, I'm not sure if I have an answer to that question. But if you look at, for the most part, take Namibia for example, we have always had suicide statistics, and to this day, even when the power structure was predominantly dominated by men, and to this day, to some degree, is dominated by that. So I think this is the.
Listen to another call. The call by the speaker. Call for multilateral collaboration and accountability because they are vital for peace and justice for men and for women and girls. What about men? What about men? Are they not for peace? And the men who are not experiencing peace because of some of these things. What do you say about these things? So we need to work hard and be so much honest if we are to solve the issue of suicide. If you go to the Namibia Correctional Service, do a research, desk research, they will tell you that I'm here because there was a pressure. I'm not saying that those are just justifiable reasons. All I'm saying is that if you look at the trying to balance up the, you know, the law and morality and all these other issues, I know people will say, law and morality and all these other things. But these are things that are emanate from the lab. So I'm saying that there are a lot of issues that we need to address if we are to maintain and promote peace, stability, accountability, and all these other things. Otherwise, we create a lopsided kind of approach, and then we always have problem the one that you are talking about.
All right. Welcome back. The 9:15 is still not with us. And I'm talking about the live stream. Sorry, the mix up of the English language. There is just going bananas. Now, moving on. I'm of the point of view that things like suicide, it's one of those things that we are not going to 100%. Actually, there is no problem that we are going to 100% solve. Not suicide, not poverty, because poverty is very relative. That's because, in our infinite stupidity, we keep redefining things every time that we try to, we get near the finish line. I'll give you an example. If everyone had $1 million, you know what? There's someone who, okay, if everyone had $1 million, and then someone had $1 billion. Then you have a bunch of people that have $1 million working day in, day out so they can also reach the $1 billion status. And when they get it's satisfaction. Satisfaction for mankind is just, it's our biggest downfall. That's why nothing is going to be enough. Nothing. At least nothing materialistic is going to be enough. And this is very simple. This is very simple human behavior. You don't have to be a psychologist to figure that out. Anyone that have read, is it the Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I've seen that. I think, what Maslow is just basically looking at, human beings and going like, my God, we are idiots. And that's because, I'll be sitting here today going like, you know what? If I had a vrupa, I would be happy. I would be really happy. And then I get a vrupa. I'm going to be happy, like really excited for the first, one or 2 weeks of owning the car. Then I'm like, oh man, boring. Now I need a new one. Only if I had a Ferrari, I would be really happy. And then you get a Ferrari. 1, 2 weeks, 3 months. Yo, you are one happy guy. Down the line now, it's boring. Anyone that looked forward to buying something new knows that feeling. And as, they were just there like spending, the whole night planning for those of you that plan, some of us just, you know, scratch our heads and make a decision out of that, you know, whimsical lifestyle. That's me. So then you decide to put the money together. Maybe it took you 3, 4, 5 months, 6 months, maybe the whole year, depending on what you are planning on buying. And as soon as you buy it, you enjoy the pleasure of owning it for the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month or two. And then it's boring again. You want something new. We will always want something new. Which is why I totally understand the guys that argue for polygamy. Because if I buy a car today and I'm bored to death tomorrow about the car, I buy a smartphone today, I'm bored to death about owning a car. And that's true for both men and women, by the way. And women, especially when it comes to clothes. Oh boy, they have a whole closet, but they're still going, I don't have anything to wear. Am I the only one seeing the closet? Ah, yeah, but they're old, you know. I've worn all of them. They're really old. I need something new. But as a boyfriend and a husband, as soon as I say I need someone new, you wanna murder me. And by the way, as soon as you say you need something new, I wanna murder you. I don't understand human being though when it comes to that area. In other words, as a couple, we are allowed to get a new house. We can agree on that. We can agree on getting a new car. We can agree on getting another child, as long as we are not stealing that child. It's not illegal. If we are manufacturing them in the, you know, a child factory there for bedroom or kitchen floor, wherever you find yourself, you know, doing it comfortably, that's okay. I need a new house. No problem, my love. If we have the money, we can save it. Or we can save for that. We need a new car. No problem, my love. We can save for that. I need a new phone. No problem, we can save for that. I need a new wife. No problem, I'm gonna kill you. I need a new husband. Oh, you are meeting Moses. Really fast. Like, the meth is just not mething enough. But, don't get me wrong. I'm totally aware of people out there, that can just tell their husband or wife that, I think we need to spice up our relationship. How about getting a Ben 10 or a Boroto that we are both aware of? And we can have, you know, 1 or 2 weekly sessions together. Look, for me, it's a cultural thing, for one. The second part is a straight guy thing. My kind of straight guy thing. The maximum nakedness of a man I want to see is him in his boxers. That's it. Anything beyond that, I don't have money for therapy. There are pictures, we are friends, but there are pictures of you I don't want to have. Thank you. Thank you. For the sake of my sanity. So, and I think this is one of those main differences between men and women. At least in comparison, most women are willing to just, be in the same room, change in clothes and do all these things, trying to fit on this and that. They will be trying on swimwear and they'll be like, okay, so how do I look? There is not a single guy that I have met put on a boxer and, put on a boxer and go and stand in front of his fellow guys and go like, how do I look? Every guy knows that if they try that, they are going to receive that Simon Kangwanjela type of look, like the why are you gay type of look. I'm telling you, women will put on swimwear, they will put on their bikinis and underwears and go, you know, there'll be a bunch of women there. They'll be judging each other. Honey, you look hot in that, you know, you look hot in that bikini. You look hot in that underwear. You look hot in that bra. You're not going to run into a bunch of guys going, oh man, that boxer looks nice on you. What the heck? You have a boxer. Yeah, thank heavens you have one, because I don't want you going beyond that.
men and women are the same. No, we're not. Yes, we are, in a way that we have both have 2 legs, 32 teeth, and, 2 arms, 5 fingers and stuff. We are the same in that way. But more social, when it comes to social activities, yeah, no, we're not. We are not. We are not. You know, how do I look in this bra make sense for women? And the friends will be like, oh, that's, and by the way, it turns out bras also have sizes. They are measured in something called cups. First time I heard it, I thought they were talking about coffee. Turns out they were not. It's like a cup. Really? You couldn't have gone with centimeters? Millimeters? I don't know. Ounces? KG? Milligrams? Nope. They just went straight for cups. Whoever came up with that, I have no idea. But the very simple measurements is, A, are they even there? B, B, somewhat there. C, I think I can hold them. D, now we're talking. But that's only for my gender. You know, ladies may have a different point of view on that. Forgive my lingo. I just decided to go full, cryptic mode because, well, I'm not on stage. So, you see, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going, who came up with this measurement? But, look, as a species, we come up with a bunch of really, dumb things. And then let's round this up with something I thought I was dreaming, not reading. And that is, fitness enthusiasts in the US have started buying, can't believe I was, I'm saying this, breast milk as a supplement for their fitness. At which I went, I'm sorry, what? Well, it turns out, American mothers, I'm not saying it's a very good business model for the, baby mamas should create a collab with, with, with the gyms and see if they can feed into their industry of, we can give you these millimeters for your homies for sale. And they, mothers are making money selling breast milk, not to babies, fully grown, mostly men. Sometimes I really want to defend my gender, but when we keep doing things like that, I start going, not even Sisana Manji can get, can get us out of this. Because why? Of all the protein stuff that is available for a fully grown, how do you even start that conversation? You find a woman breastfeeding is like, huh, can I have some of that? She's gonna call the police, and she has every right to call the police because that's creepy. But no, it turns out in the US, well, they have Donald Trump for president, so really understand why that makes sense. Now, let me take a break. Please. Breast milk for the gym. Fully grown men are buying breast milk so they can have, protein from... Look, I can give you a whole list of types of food that you can eat for protein. One very obvious one, capanna. Meat is a very high source of protein. If you're a vegetarian, go with lentils. They have the highest seeds, or I think one of the highest, seeds that are very high in protein. Albeit it's a different type of protein according to experts, not the, one that's somewhat very difficult to, for your body to work with in comparison to what's in meat. In other words, nothing beats capanna. You're welcome. Break.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. We only have 4 minutes before I disappear. So let's wrap this up. Fully grown men with voters' cards and driver's licenses sat there and concluded that the best way to make yourself more buffy is to, well, push your baby aside and breastfeed. Albeit that makes a little bit of sense than a different type of breastfeeding that's very, very, not very current friendly for me to describe, where you are literally breastfeeding nothing. Every straight guy is going, hey, we still want you to be on that station. We don't want you to get fired. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Me too. I love my salary wholeheartedly. My salary and I, the relationship is very tight. That's because if I let go, I'm a dead man. My salary can survive without me. I can't survive without it. Like one of those relationship where you are living in the same house, but only one of you can afford rent. So it's you'll be like, well, he's such a nice guy. He's a really, 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 really nice guy. Only if he wasn't an idiot. Wait, I thought we said he was he's a nice guy. Yes, he's a nice guy. But which idiot? Well, he's an idiot in a romantic kind of way. That's how you know he has money. Because if he didn't have money, he would be an idiot in a very non-romantic, violent, let's call the police kind of way. But, if he has money, there is a bright side to everything. 50 Shades of Grey is a romantic movie because the Christian Grey is a billionaire. If he wasn't, that movie would have been a very, would have been a feminist, the reason behind the feminist movement type of documentary, not a movie. But because, well, every time that he, that he did all those despicable things to Christian Steele, he would put her on a chopper and fly her to Seattle. It raises everything. In other words, forget the gym. Forget the gym. Make money. If you're tall, too tall, money will make you just moderate tall. If you're too short, money will make you just moderate tall. If you're ugly, money will make you handsome. If you're handsome, money will make you even more handsome. Actually, money will make you dreamy. At least that's all. Just on the violent end of things before I run away. There's something I discovered last weekend. Last weekend. Not the next one, of course. We are not there yet. And that is, guys, psychologically, men and women are different. The biggest consumers of adult entertainment content are men. In comparison to women, are men. But that's in video format. In written format, the biggest consumers of adult entertainment content are women. I came across a video of one Russian guy. I think he's American. And I came across several videos basically on social media. After I came across that one, I went in head first. It turns out, if you find, if you have a girlfriend or a wife that reads one of those, steamy romantic books, you think what they are reading is, we bumped into each other and then we, as my stuff fell, when I was trying to pick it up, he helped me pick it up and we locked eyes, we fell in love
and lived happily ever after. That's what I thought they were reading. Until someone recommended to me a book. Homeboy just came in the video and went like, you know, if you think your girlfriend is reading Shakespeare type of romance, let me give you a recommendation of this book. And gave, just go straight to, I think it was page 136. Just go straight to that page. Well, let me just say, I have therapy on my budget this month, because of the stuff I was reading. It turns out, when it comes to adult content, men are visual, so we want the motion pictures. Women want, a little bit of a mystery. They want to have their own individual pictures. They want to, they want to be creative. And boy, are they creative. Like I said, men and women the same? The answer is both yes and no. Yes, we all have 2 legs, 5 fingers, 32 teeth, yes. But no. Psychologically, mostly no. And believe me, I checked. Well, the live stream have not started. It was supposed to start at 9:15, but it haven't. The time is now 2 minutes past the hour of 11. So, Sizuma Salicho time, and they'll be here to basically, bring that to your attention your attention, blah, blah, blah. As soon as, it starts. If there's a delay, at this point, I'm beginning to think it's a technical issue on the end of the guys that are supposed to be live streaming it. But it turns out, what exactly is the problem? I have no idea, but so, I leave you in the hands of Sizuma Salicho. As for moi, today is Friday, so for me, until Monday, same time, same place, that's for Mind the Gap. But for Home Run, of course, we're gonna, meet again. This one the ones I have here almost, killing me, this all like, sound. That's, Francine Angela taking over for Sizuma Salicho.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Purane ngeno wapogwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nao nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fana Monica ko Eagle FM onore sa timwe bali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.